said saying about our salvation? Yeah, so you're going to have faith comes first, and then that's going to produce works, and works is going to be the evidence of the faith. And it's interesting that it also adds in there about the that the demons believe and tremble. Does it save them? No, so just a simple head belief is not what God's looking for, is it? They know who he is, but that don't mean that they're surrendered to him. All right, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 23. Amen. So 1 John 1, 6 through 2:11. to Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Man. So by context, who is he talking to there? Amen. All right, and then on to Revelation 21, 1 through 22, 5. Thank you. So that's what we have to look forward to in consummation. So what do we learn about angels in that verse, or in that scripture verse? They got the same cubit measurement, so it must be similar in size to a full-grown human being. All right. Boy, can't wait. That's going to be awesome. Any thoughts about salvation? I think it gave us a pretty complete look of salvation, which is regeneration, justification, sanctification, and glorification. So all four of those were expressed. It's all about God, and it's all in God as well. That's why we find it in Christ. Amen. All right, then we'll go ahead and look at section 5 and get started on it, which is God's purpose of grace. All right, and I'll read that little two-paragraph section, and then we'll talk about it and start looking up the verses. Election is the gracious purpose of God, according to which he regenerates, justifies, sanctifies, and glorifies sinners. It is consistent with the free agency of man and comprehends all the means in connection with the end. It is the glorious display of God's sovereign goodness and is indefinitely wise, holy, and unchangeable. It excludes boasting and promotes humility. All true believers endure to the end. Those whom God has accepted in Christ and sanctified by his Spirit will never fall away from the state of grace, but shall persevere to the end. The believers will fall into sin through neglect and temptation, whereby they grieve the Spirit, impair their graces and comforts, and bring reproach on the cause of Christ and temporal judgments on themselves, yet they shall be kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. So how does everyone comprehend what we just read? Do you feel like it's an accurate statement? Yeah, I think all of it will be proven through the scriptures that we're about to read. So we hear the word election, and oftentimes there's some discussion or even conflict over that word within the scripture. But in this statement, it not only shows that it's the gracious purpose of God, so it's initiated by him, but in the next sentence there, it says it's consistent with free agency of man. So what I think they're trying to say is, though God may be the one who initiates this, man has to agree to accept it, correct? So we've got this general call of God that goes out, and everyone who hears it, but to those that God is doing work in their heart, they must agree to continue with him. And you know, we're not gonna, it says all of creation groans in eager expectation of the revealing of the sons of God. So don't you think that when we get to heaven, we may be surprised at some of the people we see there? I mean, will you feel that way? Do you feel like that there might be some people you really didn't expect? Yeah. Do you think there might be some who'll be surprised we're there? And do you think there might be some people that you may have thought you were going to see there? We really can't tell this side of heaven, can we? We can see some evidences of salvation, but I'm going to proclaim that just like the thief on the cross was accepted the very day, hours before he died, I believe that there's many people who probably accept the Lord right before they die. I do funerals of people I don't know. I do funerals of some people I know that I didn't see much evidence in their life. I'm never going to promise somebody that their loved one is in heaven because I can't. But I'm also not going to preach them into hell because I don't know what happened in the last moments of their life. I really don't. And so I think that it's an issue of grace, isn't it? So it's unmerited favor. It's not something we deserve. Shelley? The only one who can know is you and God about yourself. Yeah. And so, I mean, there is an issue that we can know, but we just can't know about somebody else. And so we got to leave that between them and God. And whenever you go out and you see a whole big mass of people, and some people would say, well, some are chosen unto salvation, or some are chosen unto eternal damnation. How do they decide which one they're going to witness to? If a person takes that to an extreme level, how do you decide? I can tell you I've witnessed to some pretty nice people that didn't think they needed salvation because they thought they were good enough on their own. And I've witnessed to some people that look like that they've lived a pretty rough life who were very happy to hear about salvation and very quick to receive. I think maybe we just need to extend it to everybody, don't you think? And I like the way Charles Spurgeon put it. He said, you know, if it was an issue of God having chosen some, he wished they'd put a stripe on their back, and then we'd go around and lift the coattails and see which ones they are. But since he didn't do that, I guess he just preached to everybody. Shelley? Sure. Yeah, and I had one brother that I served alongside of like that for very long, and he is now so far from God, it's unbelievable. So even then, if I were to preach his funeral today, I really have found that I don't really think we should make promises and to other people that they know somebody's in heaven or we know that they're in hell. We should examine the evidence, and we might even be able to celebrate with those at the funeral that we believe that they are based on what we saw. But then beyond that, we just need to stick to the scriptures on it. And we say, this is the way to experience God's grace, and that's by receiving him as Lord and Savior. And so, it is purpose of grace, and the word election would have to, at least some degree, point toward God's work, right? Who would it be electing if it wasn't God? So it has to be God. But at the same time, God's not surprised by who's in heaven. Do you think God is ever surprised? Well, man, I didn't think you were going to. No, it wasn't like that. He was doing a work in their heart. And so we need to just cooperate with God's Spirit in this and see how he comes upon it. It is God's gracious purpose. And so of how he brings us to salvation, and so he is the one of focus, and that's why we pray for others, because we want him to move in their lives, right? And I like that it talks about the security of the saint as well. I think that we've not done it justice by just quickly paraphrasing once saved, always saved, because I think it suggests a little too much of almost our sovereignty in the matter if we're not careful. Once you're saved, once you got your free ticket in your back pocket, you can go on and do whatever you want, and that's not what that's suggesting. And so I appreciate their wording in this, and it's talking about the security of the saint. And so if you are a saint, you can't lose that, and that you will persevere to the end. And so I think that that's correct wording. I would prefer to call it the perseverance of the saint, right? Because if you're a saint, it means you're going to make it to the finish line with Christ one way or the other. And sometimes people can fall away, as it talks about. And you know what they do? They can hurt their fellowship with God. They can impair their graces and comforts and bring temporary judgment upon themselves. And I think all of those are very true. And I think that, and why would God do that? Because he disciplines those he loves, right? Just like a good father does those that are his children. And so we got about 10 minutes left here. Let's go ahead and start looking up some of the scriptures. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Okay, so who called who there? It definitely was God that called Abraham, wasn't it? Or Abram. And what did Abram do to show that he was righteous? He believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. He obeyed him. He just did what he said. And he didn't do it perfectly, did he? We read the life of Abraham, and we can find that he was like us, and that he made some tragic mistakes at times, you know. Shelley? That's true. It says that in Scripture. Yes, Daniel. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He called him according to his purpose, didn't he? All right, let's look at Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 through 8. I think verse 8 was good. Good job, brother. So how about Moses? So God chose him to be the leader of the people of Israel, right? I heard somebody one time try to preach, and I've heard a couple. Well, God picked Moses because he knew Moses would do a good job. I think God chose Moses, and then God enabled him to do a good job, don't you think? Because Moses sure wasn't a perfect guy any more than the rest of us. He was a humble man, though. I think humility is a big part of it. And God has a way of humbling us, too, doesn't he? Because at 40, Moses wasn't very humble. But by 80, Moses was getting humble. Because God had taken him through the process of humbling him and giving him humility. It's a beautiful quality, but we don't come by it easy sometimes, do we? So that's a wonderful scripture there. It's interesting that they said they would do all that the Lord said. Did they? No. And yet God's grace still prevailed, didn't it? Through that, you know, that purpose of drawing them to himself. So let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 8. Thank you. Isn't that a, that's kind of a tough passage, isn't it? You know, but God was defining it for Samuel to understand. All right, and I think Sam should be a part of the Samuel passage. We have one Sam. Sometimes God will give us what we ask for, won't he? And sometimes it may be for a time to teach us a lesson for what we're asking. So, but it's always and has a good purpose and a good end that he's working toward. All right, let's look at Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. Okay. So what is that? What is that speaking of? God chose the nation of Israel, didn't he? And he planted them just like a vineyard. He even put in a wine press because he expected the fruit. And he said, if they're not producing fruit, is it because I didn't do it right? Yeah, so then you see the free agency of man. Many chose to go the other way, right? And so let's look at Jeremiah 31:31. You can read a few more verses. Go ahead and read through 34. That means following. Yeah, the following verses. So there's quite a few verses there. Probably the whole chapter could. Thank you. go ahead and stop there. So what it, we saw in that first section that we read there from Isaiah, was speaking of the people of Israel. Now this is speaking of a new covenant. Okay, so the new covenant idea didn't just happen in the New Testament, which means new covenant. It actually was spoken of in the Old Covenant time, the Old Testament. So who's that speaking of? He's going to make the covenant, a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Who is Jesus from? Judah. He's the lion from the tribe of Judah. And so this is speaking of the fact that God was going to send Jesus and make this new covenant with Israel. Salvation came to the Jews first, correct? And to all who would follow, even among the Gentiles. So this is speaking of the church. This is the age that we are in now. And it's saying it how many hundreds of years before Jesus came? Over 700 years, yeah. So now we're talking that God chose the church through Jesus, right? And so let's look at Matthew 16. So is that speaking only of Peter? Is Peter the first pope? Is that what it's saying? It's speaking of the church, yeah. And the proclamation of Jesus, you know, the profession of faith is that rock, honestly. Yeah, and so then from there, that's where the church is planted. And guess what? The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And so let's move on to 21, verses 28 through 45. So they perceived he was speaking of them. They did, didn't they? And I like it whenever at times his disciples would say, Jesus, don't you know this is making them very unhappy? Yeah. They were offended by that. Well, to them it mattered, but to him it didn't. So He came to actually to draw them. And that was the only thing that could draw them, is for him to be honest. He had to be honest with them. All right, look. Yeah, a few of them did, didn't they? All right, 24, 31. No, 24, 22 through and 31. I'm sorry. I'm having trouble there. 24, 22. Okay, and then 31. All right, and then one more, 25, 34. Amen. That's what we want to hear, isn't it? All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and stop there tonight, guys. So we got through the Gospel of Matthew. We'll start up with Luke when we meet back together again. Any thoughts before we close in prayer? Yes, sir. God is good, isn't he? He's perfect in everything that he does. I'm constantly reminding myself of that, because everybody else in the world is not. We can all make mistakes, and so we need to make sure that we always remember God never makes a mistake. He never has, and he never will. And so every answer to every prayer and every intention of his heart and everything that he does, he does for the perfect reason and with perfect intention. And it'll all work out. Yes? Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Does. No. Yeah. Absolutely. I thought it was interesting that they didn't say anything about Noah, because it literally says he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And that's a huge one as well, isn't it? And what did he tell Noah? He told him his plan. So the Lord confides in those who fear him, first of all. He told him his secret. I'm going to flood the earth. I'm going to destroy every land-dwelling animal and human being. But you need to build an ark. It's going to save your whole family. And you need to take care of the animals that I send you. And, you think about the enormity of that. And so he started building that ark. It took 120 years before he saw it come to fulfillment. That's pretty incredible, isn't it? That's a really amazing thing to be chosen for. And we find that no one else agreed to get on that ark, right? And they all made fun of him, I'm sure, until the end. Boy, whenever it started raining and it kept rising, I got a feeling that there was some... He was. It was God that closed the door. God closed the door, and there wasn't anybody opening. So, it's an amazing account of God's choosing a man for a purpose and sheltering him and keeping him and delivering him through. It's an incredible, incredible thing. If you haven't gone to see the Ark yet, I would encourage you to do that in Kentucky. It is really a neat experience. Yeah. We've got a certain number of free tickets because of our status with them as givers through the years, and so we would be happy to share those. Boarding pass. Yeah, just in case you're, I don't want you to be disappointed. Because Bill Nye was really upset that that thing wasn't going to float. He just kept saying that the whole time he got his free tour. He got a free tour. And he still griped about it. It is. Wouldn't that be awesome? Yeah. Let's do it. I know. Well, we could set it for 3 years from now. I don't know. Oh, yeah. They do. Yeah. Yeah, and I can tell you, if you ever go around Christmas time, I'm not even into Christmas lights, but it was neat around the Ark, but it was amazing at the Creation Museum. Because the whole big garden area that they have beside the Creation Museum was like filled with the lights alongside of the lake. We just happened to stop on our way back from being out of John and Haley's for Christmas.